The child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day he appeared publicly to Israel. Such a short sentence, such a simple sentence at the end of a long, long dramatic story, right after a long song sung by an old man about what God is up to through his one and only child. Such a short sentence, such a simple sentence, but for us, it's a ringing bell or the sound of distant thunder, for it has the word wilderness in it, an important place in the story of the people of God, a place that both frightens and forms wilderness. It actually occurs in all our readings. Wilderness, the place Moses encounters the burning bush and receives a new vocation, one he doesn't believe he can carry out. Wilderness, the place where Hagar flees and discovers God's provision for her as a slave and as a cast-off person in need. Wilderness, the place where the Israelites go after their liberation from Egypt to be formed more fully into the people of God. And one reading says God put up with them for those 40 years. Wilderness, the barren place where Isaiah proclaims the beginning of God's restoration of Israel after the exile. Wilderness, the place where Jesus goes for 40 days of both temptation and clarity prior to his public ministry. And of course, this evening, wilderness, the place where John the Baptist lives, prior to his appearing publicly, the place he calls people into to be baptized and through that baptism to turn in a new direction. In all these stories, wilderness both frightens and forms. Wilderness both disorients and reorients. Wilderness is the pathless wood or the fierce landscape where a person or a people find themselves and their vocations anew on account of the challenges and adversity there, on account of how inhospitable the wilderness is. It would be easy and tempting to forget the wilderness tonight as we as a church ordain Shane, Chuck, Elizabeth and Jana to the priesthood. For many of us have labored hard to make things not feel like a wilderness on this occasion. Dean Steve Thomason and Michael Sewer have prepared an order for service and rehearsed everyone so that the blessed, beautiful, predictable order may prevail. We will sing familiar hymns that assert important things theologically about the church, about us, about spiritual life in a rhythm, in rhythms we know and love. I myself have constructed this sermon with an order that makes sense at least to me, and I hope to you, even if it's about the wilderness. And so perhaps it's not right. Perhaps it's even a little inappropriate to bring up wilderness tonight, for we rightfully prefer tonight a taste of the promised land that comes after the sojourn in the wilderness. What we might prefer is a warm and comfortable time with friends on dry land after toweling off the last few drops of wilderness baptismal water. Or what we might prefer is a time of angels waiting on us after our wilderness challenges. But sad to say, forgetting the wilderness is impossible, at least from my way of thinking tonight, at an ordination that takes place on the celebration of the Nativity of St. John the Baptist. It's impossible, not only because John the Baptist must bring it along with him, but because we, the ordinands and their families, and those of us in this church surrounding them, bring it along with us as well. And we should. The ordinands, of course, have been through a kind of wilderness during their formation, some of which we as a diocese helped to create, did we not? Commission on Ministry members who processed in their clothing, in their lay clothing, will testify to that. For them, for the ordinands, it's been a period of time of uprootedness, of uncertainty, of questions about faith, of questions about life, and many, many challenges. And this does not just apply to the ordinands, but also to their families and friends as well. They too have participated in these same experiences, or as they've been supporting their loved ones in their formation processes. And then there's the rest of us, here tonight with our faces scrubbed clean for the most part, some of us vested to indicate our roles in this orderly church of ours. Here we are at this occasion bringing along with us our own personal and vocational wildernesses, and I know they are here tonight. I know they are here tonight. But of course, it's not just the wildernesses of our personal and vocational lives we bring. We bring the vast pathless wood, the vast fierce landscape that is our society right now, that is our world right now, that is the earth right now, that is our church right now. We bring political, global, environmental, and ecclesial circumstances that defy an easy, ordered path forward based on conventional wisdom. It's a bit of a mess. But here's the thing. It's into these very circumstances, it is into the lives of these very ordinands, and it is into the lives of all of us here tonight that the wilderness stories in Scripture are speaking. It's into these things that Scripture is speaking. And this is what I believe these stories are saying. As disorienting as it might be to find ourselves in the wilderness and not some other place is God's favored place to care for us, God's chosen opportunity to show us that God's provision for us is utterly, completely reliable. As disorienting as it might be to find ourselves in the wilderness and not some other place is God's favored place to care for us, God's chosen opportunity to show us that God's provision for us is completely, utterly reliable. For it's in wilderness experiences that we get to come face to face with who we really are and with what we really need, sometimes with what we really need to change. And with God's help, we get to discover what we can become. We just have to say our prayers, listen as openly as we can, and put one foot in front of the other. Maybe you know this story. If you do, repetition is good. Parker Palmer tells a story that's right on point to me. It's the story of his own time in the wilderness when he participated in an outward bound program out in Maine while he was in the middle of what he called his midlife crisis. During that course, Palmer faced a particular challenge that struck fear into his heart, and that was this: rappelling off of a 110-foot tall cliff. And he tells the story this way. And so we're in the middle of that. He says, "They backed me up to the edge of a cliff, and they tied a very thin rope to my waist, a frayed and stretchy rope, and then they told me to back down that cliff. So I said, well, what do I do? The instructor, in typical Outward Bound fashion, said, go. So I went, and I went, boom, down to the first ledge. The instructor looked down at me and said, I don't think you have it quite yet. And so I said, right, now what do I do? The instructor said, the only way to do this is to lean back as far as you can, because you have to get your feet at right angles to the rock face so you'll have pressure on them. It makes sense, right? Palmer comments, I couldn't bring myself to do that, so I tried it again, doing it my way, and boom, I hit the ledge again. Instructor said, you still don't have it. And he repeated, well, what do I do? Then the instructor said, lean way back and take a step. Palmer comments then, the next step was a very big one, but I did take it. Wonder of wonders, I began to get it. I leaned back, and sure enough, I was moving down that rock face, eyes on the heavens, making tiny, tiny movements with my feet, but gaining confidence at every step. But when I got about halfway down, a second instructor called up from below. She said to me, Parker, I think you better stop and look at what's happening beneath your feet. So I lowered my eyes, and there beneath my feet was a large hole opening up in the rock, which meant that I was going to have to change directions. I froze. I have never been so paralyzed in my life, so full of physical fear. I knew I could do it if I could just keep going straight, but I could not change directions. I just froze in sheer terror. The instructor let me hang there for what seemed like a long time, and finally she shouted up, Parker, is there anything wrong? To this day, he commented, I do not know where these words came from, but in a high, squeaky voice, I said, I don't want to talk about it. The instructor then said, then I think it's time you learn the motto of the Outward Bound School. Then she yelled up to me the words I will never forget, words that have been genuinely empowering for me ever since. She said, the motto of the Outward Bound School is, if you can't get out of it, get into it. Palmer then goes on to comment, I have believed in the idea of the Word made flesh for a long time, but I had never had a real experience of it. But those words seemed so profoundly true to me that at that moment they entered my body, bypassed my mind, and moved my legs and feet. It was just so clear that there was no way out of that situation except to get into it. No helicopter was going to come. They weren't going to haul me up by a rope. I wasn't going to float down. I had to get into it. And my feet started to move. The image is very powerful to me, he said. It is an image of the movement of the spiritual life. There is no way out of our inner lives, so we'd better get into them. In the downward, inward journey, the only way out is in and through. And I would add to this, Melissa would add to this, there is no way out of the wilderness except in it and through it. Shane, Chuck, Elizabeth, and Jana, thank you for the wilderness places you have traversed in your formation for the priesthood, and I know there have been many. And thank you, family and friends of these ordinands, for supporting them in this and making your own way through your experience. Shane, Chuck, Elizabeth, and Jana, know that in your ordination tonight, the Church of God is inviting you to be good stewards of the order, rhythm, and beauty that is our ecclesial tradition, is it not? But also know this, wilderness awaits you on the other side of tonight. In the lives of the people you serve, in the silence of your own heart as your vocation evolves and changes over the years, and in the challenges in this world of ours today, wilderness awaits you. You can't get out of it. Get into it. For there waiting in it is God's care, is God's utterly reliable provision in the Word made flesh for you and for the people you serve.